Well, as always, it's nice to come home after a vacation, but it was actually quite good to really get away for our vacation this year. Last year, we were sort of grounded by our son's chemo treatments. The year before that, Mary's hip replacement had us sticking pretty close to home, but this year we were really able to get out of town on an Alaskan cruise that my wife won in a raffle last year at her professional conference. I was delighted that she selected me to go with her on the trip. The cruise through Alaska's Inside Passage was delightful, it was restful, delicious, scenic, victorious. On the last day of the cruise, Mary and I won the Broadway musical trivia contest in Sudden Death. Perfect score. One of the reasons the cruise was so restful that was that both of us were electronically disconnected. Even though most of our time sailing was in U.S. territorial waters, we were beyond the reach of cellular towers. And we elected not to purchase the ship's unlimited wireless internet package for $229 for the week per device. So except for brief times in port, no internet, no cell phone, no texts, no Facebook, no emails. You see, we left town midway through the RNC, and we boarded the ship about a week later, right after Philadelphia's Democratic National Convention. So we'd heard the speeches and the accusations, the point and counterpoint, the negative ads being spewed through televisions and radios and newspapers from every conceivable political action committee. We were as sick as anyone of the rhetoric and the posturing. And then we boarded the ship, a ship with nearly 3,000 passengers, most from the United States. And with the exception of an occasional Make America Great Again ball cap or an I'm with her t-shirt, for the most part, the passengers on the ship were not anxious to create a divide amongst ourselves. There were no accusations against the crew coming from the passengers on the far left, on the far port or far starboard. People's focus was on enjoying being together, enjoying a shared experience, enjoying two desserts at dinner if you wanted to. We did. And that reminded me of this reality. 3,000 people on a ship, or 350 million people in a nation, can choose their attitude. Two young women demonstrated that last week at the Olympic Summer Games in Rio. This past week on NBC Nightly News, I saw the story of the spontaneous moment of detente between gymnasts from a bitterly and tragically divided country, North and South Korea. 17-year-old Lee Eun-joo of South Korea and 27-year-old Hong Eun-jong of North Korea brushed aside the political differences of their respective governments and snapped a selfie, the young Yunju forming a peace sign with her fingers as a visual caption of hope for their photo. They could have glared at each other. They could have muttered or shouted taunts at each other. They could have ignored each other. Instead, they chose to take a small but meaningful step toward bridging the dividing line that separates them from each other. That photo brought to mind a song from 50 years ago that was only a modest hit when it was recorded by the Kingston Trio and then later by the Youngbloods. In fact, the Youngbloods' version of that recording gained its highest rank, number 5 on Billboard's Hot 100 chart. It gained that number 5 ranking a few years after they had actually released the song. That was when it was used in a radio public service announcement, quote, as a call for brotherhood by the National Conference of Christians and Jews. And when it was used in that PSA, it gained 30 points higher on the top 100 chart than it had as its own recording. The song's familiar refrain urged, come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. We may sense that trying to love one another feels more difficult than usual right now. Our country seems on edge. There's such an accusatory mood that asserts, if you don't agree with me, then obviously you're wrong and are not to be respected. Black lives matter, yes, and blue lives matter, yes, and all lives matter, yes. And refugees are people, not political pawns or economic burdens or security threats or diluters of culture and purity. And firearms are things. For some, they are tools or equipment for sport. Or at the very least, they're marvels of design and engineering to be appreciated and admired. But firearms are things. And if we worship things, the Bible calls that idolatry because an idol occupies the place of the living God. And there's much passion in our nation over matters of access and use of firearms. Passions that challenge our ability to love one another. In the realm of presidential candidates, maybe you've made up your mind. Maybe you've resolved not to participate. I hope not. Maybe you're still deciding your preference among Republican Donald Trump or Democrat Hillary Clinton or Green Party candidate Jill Stein or Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson. How do you still love one another when you know that the candidate preferred by your friend, by your neighbor, your child, your spouse, is someone other than the candidate you prefer? How do you still love one another? How do we smile at our sister or brother? How does everybody get together to try to love one another? It's against our nature. It's against human nature. It requires the strength of our spiritual nature. That spiritual nature was described in Colossians chapter 3 that Thomas read, beginning with a reminder that we can never hear too frequently, the reminder that we belong to God. Thomas read, "You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for His own." The scripture then uses metaphors of clothing to describe how we are to wrap, to envelop, to immerse ourselves in the spiritual power that we receive from our trust in God. Thomas read to you, "So then you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I mean, think of it. Each day, you decide how to clothe yourself. You did it this morning. Each day, you decide how people are going to see you. Similarly, every hour of every day, we decide whether we are going to choose kindness as our default way of relating to others. We choose whether we will express compassion for the situations that others are facing. Will we be patient when it might feel momentarily self-satisfying to explode in self-righteous indignation at some perceived slight or inconvenience? Will we puff ourselves up with pride and ego as a way of putting others in their place? Or will we choose an attitude of humility that acknowledges the right of every individual to be treated with respect? Five years ago, our college friend Jane suffered the tragic loss of her 20-year-old college son. A month after the funeral, Jane and her husband went down to Kent State to retrieve their son Nick's belongings. And Jane shared that Nick had a favorite saying. It was captured by the letters E-L-E, E-L-E, which meant everybody love everybody. She said that Nick had written E-L-E all over his school papers, all over drawings that he made. One of his hobbies was to design hot rod golf carts, and he had E-L-E all over those drawings. He even had a stash of coloring books that he had written E-L-E all over the place. E-L-E, everybody, love, everybody. Isn't that what Jesus encouraged? No, not encouraged. What Jesus commanded. Remember? And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Everybody, love everybody. Public. Love the police who protect you. And police, love the public you are sworn to serve. Sports fans, love the people who support the team competing against yours. Presbyterians, loved the Lutherans and Catholics and Methodists and Christian Scientists and others. Loved the Jews, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, Baha'i, and others. Electorate, in humility, show Christ-like love for the candidates and the people who support them, even if you disagree with their politics or their past or their policies or their promises. Everybody love everybody. You might argue, hey, sorry, it's not in my nature. That's right, I agree. It's not in our nature, but it's in Christ's nature. And as His followers, we pray that we will be infused with His nature and empowered by His Spirit to do what does not come naturally to us. Jesus promises us that it's possible for everybody to love everybody. As I have loved you, He said, so you must love one another. Or, if He were to put it another way, everybody get together, try to love one another right now.